Well, today being the last day of the feast, of course, we know tomorrow is the last great day, but today being the seventh day of the feast, I wondered, what did we gain this week? Over these last 7 days, what are we going to take back? What are we going to do with what we take back from this feast? Because God certainly brought us here for a reason. He brought us here to hear more about Him, about the plan He has for our future. And we've heard through some fantastic messages, we've gained information to help us be better Christians, to take back to our areas and use and grow spiritually. And we benefit so much from what God provides here at the feast. But what I wanted to remind you as well as myself is let's take what we've learned and use it. Let's not hide our talents. And that's the title of my message today. Don't hide your talents. God has given us talents to use. I think about the special music we've had here at the feast, the talent last night. It's amazing. And it's so appreciative, so moving, some of the music that we've heard. Sometimes I get a little jealous when I hear people that have a fantastic voice or can play an instrument so well, and I'm wondering, why did I not end up with a talent like that? When I try to sing, I remind people of a hound dog chasing a rabbit through the woods. And that isn't a good thing, even to the hunters. They don't want to hear that. But some people are so blessed with their talents, and they use those talents for you and I. They use those talents to glorify God, just as we should do with what God has given us, because God certainly has given us all talents, something for us to use to glorify our Creator God. One of the men I used to work with was very talented. He was a master carpenter, a master electrician, a master plumber. He could do all of these things, and we just stood back in awe of this guy. When he would do something, when he would build something, he put everything he had into it, all of those skills he had that he put into whatever he was doing. And he didn't only use those skills for work. He would help people who were in a situation where they couldn't afford to have repairs made. They were having difficulty. He would go and do the work for them, make repairs, build them something that they may need, cabinets or whatever. And he would do that because he said, you know, I'm blessed with this talent. I want to share it. I want to use it. I want to provide something that maybe someone else doesn't have. He didn't hide those talents he had. He used them to benefit others. And there's a parable in the book of Matthew about talents that I want to read here in a few minutes. But that parable can help us realize our God-given talents, and not only realize them, but understand more clearly what God expects us to do with what He's given us. He certainly doesn't give us these talents to hide. He gives us these talents to do something with and to glorify Him, to glorify His Son, Jesus Christ, with what He's given us. This parable helps us understand what we're to do. But before we do that, let's turn to, in the book of Luke, let's turn to chapter 6, Luke chapter 6. Because there's something we have to establish here first as members of the body of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46. Jesus Christ is speaking here. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Now, whoever he's talking to here calls him Lord, Lord. Many people in the world today cry out, Lord, Lord. But they don't obey. They don't keep the commandments. They're not obedient to God. They want to make up their own rules. And it goes on in verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it. For it was founded on the rock. It was founded on Jesus Christ, God's truth. Something very solid, something that couldn't be shaken. Not only did these people cry out, Lord, Lord, but they obeyed. They were obedient to God. And in verse 49 it says, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. It didn't stand. There was no foundation there, nothing to grab onto, nothing to believe in, nothing to build faith on. It didn't stand. We have that truth. God has opened our minds to understand that truth. That should be the foundation of our faith. That should be what motivates us to do something with what God has given us. To not just take for granted that we're here. Because we're here because of a miracle. Every one of us. We're not here accidentally. We didn't just stumble through these doors. God brought each and every one of us here for something very special. Something the world doesn't have, doesn't know about yet. But one day soon will. But Jesus Christ is that foundation that brought us all here. If you turn with me to Matthew 25, Matthew chapter 25, Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14, Jesus Christ explaining a parable here, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Before he left, before the master left, he gave them something. Something of value. And in verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. And to another, 1. And you might think, well, I thought God wasn't a respecter of persons. Why is this person getting more than me? That doesn't sound fair. But if we read on, we understand it is fair. Because God had a reason for that. The master had a reason for giving a certain amount of talents to a certain person. Because it goes on to say, to each according to his own ability. They were all able to do so much. They had the ability and the skills to do that. They weren't asked to do any more than they were able to do. But they weren't asked to do any less either. Each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You did something with what I gave you. You increased it. You used it. You glorified me by doing what you did. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. What a reward. And then in verse 22, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Again, had increased what God had given him, had done something positive with it, and glorifying his master. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. I was afraid to do anything. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. He didn't do anything with what he had been given. He just waited and waited and waited until the master returned, not accomplishing anything, not taking what he had been given and increasing it, trying to figure out, what can I do here to glorify my master, to glorify my Lord with what I've been given? He didn't do that. And in verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. I would have gained something. You would have gained something. But you chose to do nothing. And the master was not happy. He wasn't pleased. He had gotten back what he had given this servant. But the servant is the one who lost out. He's the one that chose not to do anything. And in verse 28, master says, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given. Everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the outcome was not good at all for this unprofitable servant, because he made that decision to just sit on his hands and do nothing. And brethren, if we're not careful, we can do that. As years pass, and they pass so quickly. I remember the first year here in the Dells, as I'm sure many of you do. And it's 2013 already. Time has passed us by quickly. What have we done over those years? What have we done over the years since we've come into the church? Have we taken what God has given us and done something with it? Hopefully we all have. We've increased in our knowledge. We've increased in our faith. We're hanging on to that foundation of Jesus Christ that can't be shaken, no matter what. Because that's what God expects. Nothing less. He expects us to do something. And we come every year at the feast and we hear these messages. We hear all of these words that prod us and help us and excite us and inspire us to move on after the feast is over through the next year till we begin the holy days and we begin the process all over again. But we go away from the feast excited, energized, zealous for God's work. That's what God's looking for us to do that. We all have the ability. We all have the talent to do something. I was talking with a member, an older member here the other morning. And as I was talking with her, this young lady came up and began talking. And the lady that I was talking to just expressed to me how pleased she was and what that meant to her, because this young girl would stop and take time to talk to her, to ask questions, to get to know her better. Our children have those talents. We have those talents. We follow those examples that Jesus Christ and others set for us to use what God's given us. Every one of us here are brought here by invitation of our Creator God. We're all here for the same reason. We're all here to learn. We're here to fellowship, to see old friends, to make new friends. What a time, what a fantastic time we have here. And it's over so quickly. It's over so quickly, but we need to carry on what we have here at the feast and carry that on back to our local congregations, back to our neighborhoods, back to our workplace, and be the kind of person that God expects us to be, sharing our talents, sharing our love for mankind, sharing our concern and compassion for our neighbor and our fellow man. We're learning to do that for each other. And I think we're growing in that part of being a Christian more than ever before. I think we're getting it. I think we're understanding that God's love is the most important thing in our lives. Without that, what does Scripture tell us? Without that love, we have nothing. And we can certainly share that love with each other, but we can share that with our families and our friends and our co-workers. It's something that God has given us. The first two servants begin to multiply their talents right away. They took it, they got busy, they increased it. But that third unprofitable servant chose to hide it. He had the same opportunity as the other two. The same opportunity. But he made a choice that didn't serve him well. He chose to hide it. The person lacked faith. He had already come to the conclusion in his mind that the master was hard, asked too much of people. He was a tyrant, and he was afraid to try anything. He had no relationship with his master, and that's sad because that played against him. Brethren, we should have a relationship with God on a daily basis. Our Lord and Master wants us to have that relationship. He desires that relationship. But it's up to us if we have it or not. God certainly isn't going to force us, but he's very pleased when we desire that, when we want that, when we put God first. We made that commitment at baptism. God is first in our lives. Are we holding to that commitment? Has anything taken its place? Hopefully it hasn't. We all understand that one day Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, will soon return. He will return to settle up accounts. Can we stand before our Master and say, I've increased. I've taken what you've given me and I've increased it. I've used it to glorify you to the best of my ability. And it may not have been up to par with somebody else, but I did it to the best of my ability. But the master had the same message for both servants who did something, who increased. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because they had made that effort. They had done something with what he had given them. But let's look at another parable that shows us, too, what God expects. Increase with what he's given us. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, and again he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teachings, Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root in it, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Are we hearing what God has to say to us? That we need to take what he's given us, the talents he's given us, the gifts he's given us, and increase them. Use them to glorify him. And he goes on, beginning in verse 13, to explain this parable. Mark 4 and verse 13, and he said to them, he's talking to his disciples, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So they didn't get a chance to do anything with it. Satan came along as he does and deceived them. Got them looking somewhere else. Got their focus away from God. And they didn't last. And in verse 16, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they received it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when the tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." And we've all seen that throughout the years in God's church. People will come in, but then it may be the Sabbath, it may be tithing, it may be something else that they just don't understand or they don't want to do. They don't agree with it, and they stumble. They don't come back. "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." And that's the biggest thing that I see, brethren. The biggest threat to us as Christians is the world. Because Satan uses everything that's going on out there to entice us, to make it look so much better than what we have, to distract us, and to convince us that it's no big deal. We can have a foot in the world and we can have a foot in God's church. It works. It'll go together. But it doesn't. But if we're not careful, Satan will convince us that it does work. And we know better than that. We've seen that fail so many times. And in verse 20, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, and do something with what they heard. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100, increasing what they were given, doing something with it." We see by reading this parable that we all have the capability to produce. There's no reason why any of us should not be able to produce something. We all have a relationship with God. We all can get on our knees and ask God, show us our talents. What can I do to glorify you? What can I do to serve my fellow man? What can I do to serve the brethren? God is there for you. He's there for me. He's there for all of us to help us, to show us what we need to do. If you remember the story in Matthew 17, when a father brought his son to the disciples to have him healed from epilepsy, they couldn't heal the boy. But Jesus Christ was able to. He was able to do it. And later the disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't heal him. Why couldn't we do that? Let's turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and verse 19. This is after Jesus had healed the boy. It says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast him out? Because the young man had a demon. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Now these were men that were right there with Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And he says to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. We need to increase our faith in our Creator, in our Savior, in ourselves. We need to understand, as I said before, it's no accident that we're here. God has a purpose for each one of us. A fantastic purpose. He has a fantastic future waiting for not only us, but for every man, woman, and child. But we need to increase our faith. Just as the disciples did, they needed to increase their faith, to turn ourselves completely over to our Creator, to God. Matthew 25, if you turn there with me, please. Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. We get back to the unpardonable servant here. Matthew 25 and in verse 24. Matthew 25 and in verse 24. It says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. He already in his mind had made up his mind what the master was like. Can't please him. Can't do anything right. Why try? I'll just take what he's given me, hide it away. When he returns, I'll give it back. No harm done. That wasn't what God was looking for. That wasn't what the master was looking for. Matthew chapter 11, if you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 25. Had he known his master, had he known his Lord, he would have understood he was nothing like that at all. But he didn't take time to form a relationship. He didn't take time to get to know his master. In Matthew 11 and in verse 25, it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. The world doesn't understand God's truth. The world doesn't understand God's plan, but God has given us that opportunity. He's opened our minds to open this book and be able to see what's coming off of those pages and understand what's going on, what God is doing. In the verse 26, it says, even so, Father, for it has seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he whom the Son wills to reveal to him. Jesus Christ came and revealed the Father to us. The family, the God family, was revealed to us through Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 28, now does this sound like a tyrant? Does this sound like a hard man? Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That really doesn't sound like a hard taskmaster. But the unprofitable servant didn't realize that. He didn't know that. He didn't have that relationship. So what we read here is completely different. The opposite from what the unprofitable servant thought his master was like. Jesus Christ tells us here to come and receive salvation. Come to me. Come and learn discipleship from me. Come and accept the yoke of God in your life. Because compared to the yoke of bondage of sin that this world is under because of Satan, the yoke of God is easy and rewarding. And that's where we get our rest. We have peace. We have comfort, knowing that our God is there waiting to help us, waiting to forgive us, have compassion for us, heal us. Matthew chapter 5, if you turn back there with me, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and in verse 13. How important are we to God? What do we mean to our Creator? Well, these scriptures tell us how important we are, what we mean to Him. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 13. You, that means you, all of you in this room, all of God's people around the world, you are the salt of the earth. But if that salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If we don't take what God's given us and use it, if we don't increase it, we come to nothing. We come to nothing just as the salt. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Again, you, us, all of us, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. God does not want to hide us. He wants us to use the talents that He's given us to glorify Him. Remember in the sermonette when the father and son was accused of stealing something and the other contractor knew better than that? Apparently their light was on and bright and shining because of the example they set. This person knew they don't do that. They don't do those things. And he knew by their example. Do we set that kind of an example for our neighbors, for our co-workers, for our employers, for each other here at services? And back home at Sabbath services, do we set that kind of an example? But you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. The unprofitable servant buried his light. Nobody could see it. It went out. Verse 16, let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. By what we do, the example we set, what we take home from the feast, we glorify God. People see that. They may think we're a little strange, but they know we're convicted in what we believe. That's very important. Matthew 25, if you turn back there with me, Matthew 25. Matthew 25. and in verse 27. Matthew 25 and in verse 27. Therefore, you ought to have deposited, this is what the master is telling this unprofitable servant. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. A little bit. Just a little tiny bit. And you didn't even do that. You could have got something. Now, I don't have a rich uncle. Maybe many of you do. But if he gave you some money, he gave you $1,000, put that in the bank. 10 years later, you go to withdraw it. You have an increase. If you put it in there and only got the minimum amount of interest, you're going to have an increase. If you put that in a can and buried it in the ground, you're not going to have that $1,000. It's not going to be worth it was when you put it in that can because of inflation. You went backwards. And if we're not careful with the talents God's given us, we can go backwards if we don't use them. We can't store them. We have to do something with them. We have to make use of them. Luke chapter 13, if you turn there with me. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Another parable. Another story, another example of things for us to learn, to take home. Luke 13 and verse 6. He, Christ, also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. He planted the tree. He was hoping it would produce. But he came and found nothing. God has planted his truth in you and I, brethren. What will he find? What will he find? In verse 7, then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Cut it down. It's not producing anything. We'll plant something else there, something that will produce. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? It's just taking up space. Just taking up space. But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone. Let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. God doesn't give up on us. He works with us. He nudges us. He stirs us. He makes us think. God does not want us to fail. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to continue on in His church, in His truth. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 1. We've heard these verses read many times, but they're so true, so meaningful, so personal to each one of us. Beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit, that it has increase, that it does something more. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That foundation of Jesus Christ. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Producing, increasing, doing something with what God has given us. Everything here at the feast is for our benefit. Everything here is an opportunity for growth for each one of us. Each message, each Bible study, each activity, each conversation is an opportunity for growth for each one of us. If we don't take our calling seriously, if we don't do something with what God has given us, the end result could be catastrophic. The end result could be what the unprofitable servant ended up with. Nothing. Digging around and fertilizing the fig tree shows an effort to produce something. Let's nudge it. Let's work with it. Let's help it. And the fig tree should bear fruit, just as we as Christians should bear fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. And bring glory to God as we do that. Matthew chapter 7, if you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 15. We have to be on guard as Christians, as members of the body of Jesus Christ. We have to be on guard. Remember, we're told, put on the whole armor of God for our defense. We have to have that relationship with our Creator. We have to know His truth. We have to be grounded and hang on to that foundation of our Savior. In verse 15 of chapter 7 of Matthew, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." That's the world we live in, brethren. That's the religious confusion that's outside these walls. We have to be careful. We have to be aware. You will know them by their fruits. Maybe it's because they're not producing anything. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. By their fruits. What they either increase or don't increase, we'll know them by that. 2 Timothy, if you turn there with me, 2 Timothy. We need to be reminded every once in a while of who we are, of what we're doing. And Paul understood that. Paul understood a little reminder doesn't hurt. It helps. Just to refocus, to get an eye on our goal. And he was doing that with Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, Paul here writing, says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith," knowing Timothy by his fruits, Paul knew that, "by his genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you." I need your attention here, Timothy. I want to remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear that the unprofitable servant had. He was afraid. He was afraid of his master. He didn't even know his master. But yet he was afraid. That was the conclusion he came to. But it says here, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God gives us, brethren. We must use the gift, the talents that God gives us. We should have that motivation to increase them, to use them, and to have the kind of fear that it mentions here. The kind of fear the unprofitable servant mentioned isn't compatible with God. Doesn't have anything to do with God. But what are some of the ways we can increase our talents? How can we do that? I don't have any. You know, I've said that to myself many times. I don't have any. I wished I did. Some of you may have said the same thing. But we can all pray. That's the number one thing we can do. We can pray daily for one another, for the world, for the kingdom of God to come. I learned a long time ago when I got up in the morning, I learned by example that I don't want to open that door and go over that threshold without prayer. Because I don't know what that day holds. I don't know what's going to face me when I walk out of this house. I have no idea. So I want to pray before I leave the house. I want God with me. I want that protection. I want that strength, that wisdom that only He can give me. I want to be able to say the right things. If I have a meeting or a confrontation with somebody, I want to have the right words to say. I want to set an example that's pleasing to God when I deal with other people. I don't want to lose my temper. I don't want to say something that shouldn't have been said. I want God's words to come out of me. And I ask for that every day. Help me, Father. I need your help to get through this day. And it's so important for us to do that. That we rely on God. But we can do that. We can pray for others. How many in our areas back home are sick, are experiencing difficulty with their health? As we get older, we all begin to experience different things. We need each other's prayers. We need each other's help. So we can all pray. We have that talent to pray. We have that gift. Meditation every day on who we are, on where God has brought us to. Not thinking about the world, but thinking about God's church, thinking about our future in the kingdom of God. Thinking about the return of Jesus Christ. Meditation on God's Word. Bible study. So important. Do we know what God's Word says? Can we defend our truth? Can we defend our faith? Are we grounded on Jesus Christ? Are we attached to that foundation? Nobody can move us. There are plenty of people out there with strange ideas, with different doctrines, with their own ideas of who God is and what God is and whatever. Can we defend our faith? Do we know what the Bible says? And service to others is something else we can do. It's a gift. Serving others in big ways and in little ways. And serving is not always easy. Serving is not always convenient. But serving others is following the example that Jesus Christ gave us. He served us, every one of us. He served us with everything He had and gave it all for you and I. So service is another way that we can do that. We can work on our attitudes, grow in the right attitude, be positive. Be positive. Asking God in our prayer to keep us positive. Help us to stay that way. We have something so exciting and our future. How could we ever explain it? And unless God opened up someone else's mind, how could we ever explain it to someone in the world? They just wouldn't get it. They wouldn't understand it. But we get excited about that. When we talk about the kingdom, when we talk about our future, we get excited because we know it's real. We know that Jesus Christ is going to return and he's bringing that government to correct all of the wrong things on this planet, to set things right. Our attitude should be positive and have joy for God's way of life. Have joy for God's way of life. Brethren, we should be the most joyful people on the planet. We have our difficulties. You know, we all have our little things going on. But you know how joyful we should be with what God has given us. He's called us out of the world. He's given us his truth. He's given us the understanding of what he's doing with his creation. And we need to grow in our faith, just as Christ told his disciples. Grow in your faith. Build that relationship with God. Build that relationship with one another. Love each other as we love our Creator God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love one another, thanking God every day for the opportunities he's given us. Hebrews chapter 13, if you turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. But do not forget, don't forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To give of ourselves, to help, to serve. Not for our glory, but for the glory of our God. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1, James chapter 1, and in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Remember what he said? We're the light. But all of those good gifts come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So, brethren, let's take everything we've learned. Let's add to the talents that we've already been given. But let's not sit on our hands. Let's be excited. Let's be joyful. Let's love one another as God intends us to love and help and serve one another. Let's set that example. We don't want to be like the unprofitable servant. We want Jesus Christ, when he comes back to settle accounts, to look at each one of us and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant.